We begin the current daf in Sefetz, but Metziah daf Chaf. We begin 10 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next and the final mission in this parak, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is discussing the halachas of these two parakim of regarding finding a lost object. Specifically, these Mishnahs were talking about finding a document. So the Mishnah says, Matze Igwe Shum, if somebody finds a letter of evaluation, which refers to a case when the courts evaluate the properties of the borrower who has not paid up a debt that he owes to the lender, so the court writes a document for the lender to be allowed to collect from this guy's property, that document is called the Igre Shum. Or if someone finds the Igre Mazon, which is a letter of accepting responsibility to feed his wife's daughter that she brought into the marriage, or Shtar Chalitza, if someone finds documents of Chalitza, which is the process of when a woman's husband dies without any children, then she has to either Yibam or Chalitza with her brother-in-law. Chalitza is the process of divorcing the Yavam to the Yavama. Or Mi'unin, if someone finds a document of Mi'un. Mi'un is a situation where a minor that was rabbinically married by her mother or her brothers with her consent, she can leave the marriage on her own terms with what's called Mi'un when she's a minor and she doesn't require a get. Rather, she just says in front of three people that I don't want this guy to be my husband anymore. The court writes her a document that she had refused, which is what Miyun is, in front of them. And they verify that she's now permitted to go ahead and marry someone else. Or Ushtar Birun, if someone finds a document of clarification, which we will explain what this refers to, says the Mishnah, V'chol Ma'isa Besen, and any type of a document which is verified through the court system, and if someone finds that verified document, Harizi Yachzer, so then these documents are returned to the recipient of these documents. Now, the reason for this is, in contrast to the previous Mishnah, here there is no concern to say Shema Nimlach. Why do you turn to the recipient? Maybe the one who wrote it changed his mind and never gave it. That you can't say in these cases because the court never writes something, only something that was verified that they witnessed, only then do they write that document. So therefore we know that the actual thing happened. We know that he committed to giving support to his stepdaughter or to that he was doing chalitza because the court only writes these documents after they happened. So it definitely happened. It's not like the person retracted. Moreover, there's no concern about another halacha concept that we mentioned in previous dafim of, okay, maybe it happened, but maybe then it was paid up because these documents are not appropriate for paying up. They're just verification documents. They're things that are. They just are. They're not paid up. As the Gemara said of Tazayinim Abayis. And actually, even according to the one who says, by Igre Shum, which are documents of evaluation of the properties that they could be paid up, because although he didn't pay up the debt, so the court allowed the lender to go ahead and take the properties, but within a certain time frame, this guy can then pay it up, and therefore then that would be a concern, then how can this person go ahead and collect with the Igre Shum maybe was paid up? And that the Gemara said, even according to that version, he is creating the loss himself, because if it was paid up, he should have torn up the document right away. And the reason that he didn't, that then is, again, reason for us to say that you're not trusted because you would have torn it right away, and therefore we give it to the recipients. Again, even in the case of Igre Shum, we will give it to the lender. Now the Mishnah continues. Let's say Matzah bechafisa oivid luskema, in which the Gemara is going to explain what these types of things are, but they're receptacles. If someone finds documents in these receptacles, if someone finds a document, or if they find tacherch shel shtaris, this guy found a roll of documents, oy aguda shel shtaris, or a bundle of documents. The Gemara again is going to explain what is chafisa, what's luskema, which are the types of containers, and what's tacherch and aguda, which sound like the same thing. They're bundles of documents. Says the Mishnah, Hariza Yachzer. So then you do return it to the recipient. Now, what's the reason for that? How do we know? Maybe it fell from the borrower just as much as we're saying it could be a fell for the lender. The reason is because this is something that has a simon, as Gemara will explain, because the receptacle is a simon when the owner, who we're saying is the lender, would say, oh, you found the bundle of documents? It was in that and that type of kli, let's say for one document, or it was a tacherch or aguda shel shtaris. Again, therefore, you're going to return it because it's something of a simon. As we will explain, why is a bundle of documents considered an identifying feature, which is a simon, allowing it to be returned to the lender. Now, explains the Mishnah Bekama aguda shel shtaris. What's considered a bundle of documents? It's shleish shekisurin zebezed. It's three documents that are tied one to the other. That is, as we'll explain, what is the simon in that, but that's the type of roll that's a gudish or shor, is a bundle of documents that's tied together. A different halacha, Shimon Gamliel Emir says, relating to this concept about finding these documents on the floor, He says, Echad Haleva Mishlesha, one who borrows from three. In other words, if there are three documents of one borrower that he borrowed from three different people, and those three documents are found together, and that says Reb Shimon Gamliel, the Yachzer, so the one who finds it should return it, Laleva, to the borrower, because he definitely paid up these documents, and therefore it should be returned to him because it fell from him. Because had it fell from his lenders, then who would have gathered it together? Why would three different lenders have been found in one place? It must have been because it was the one borrower who had borrowed from these three people that paid him up, he got the documents back, and it fell from him. Now, Shleisha, I love him in the Echad. When you have three that borrowed from one person, then Yachzer, then the one who finds it should return them, Lamalva, to the lender, because obviously it fell from the lender, because it's not from the borrowers, because then why would the three borrowers' documents be in one place? It must be from the lender who he had lent to these three people, and it fell from him. Now the Mishnah says, Matzah Shtar Ben Shtay Reisav, a different halacha. Let's say someone finds a document amongst his documents. Ve'nidei Mativei, and he doesn't know what it's doing by him. In other words, he doesn't know if the borrower had deposited by him to watch it, or the lender had deposited by him to watch it, or actually maybe it was partially paid, therefore they gave it over to a third party to hold on to it, because actually neither of them were allowed to have it, because it was halfway paid, and now he forgot. So he doesn't even know why he's holding this document. Where'd he get it from? Who should he give it back to? And that says the Mishnah, Yehimunach, it should lay in his hand, and he shouldn't return it to either one of them, until Yonah becomes, because you're right, we have no way of verification of who it belongs to and how much of it, if any, was paid. Now, a separate halacha, says the Mishnah, Im Yeshimoin Simfainais. If someone finds, amongst his own documents, he finds a shaver, a receipt, which was written regarding one of the deeds, one of the outstanding documents that are of debt that are owed to him by someone else. So let's say he has a document that other person owed him $1,000. But then he finds amongst his documents a receipt that this guy paid him up $1,000. Says the Mishnah, Yasa Masha Semben Finis. So you should follow what it says in that receipt, and therefore the other document is assumed to have been paid. Now, although that, what's troubling is that why is the receipt in his hand and not in the borrower's hand? The receipt shouldn't be for him. The receipt should be, the borrower should be able to have produced that receipt. And that we say that maybe the borrower trusted him and said, oh, okay, it's okay, I'm paying you up, but I know the receipt you have to give me. Give me tomorrow, I'm heading somewhere right now, I can't have any documents on me. And they forgot about it. And therefore, maybe now a year later, he goes, wait, what's this receipt doing over here? Well, if he would have paid me, I would have given him the receipt. On that we say that no, you do consider it as if it was paid up. And just maybe that he just never gave it to that guy, the receipt, and therefore it is Becheskes Perua. Now the Gemara clarifies one of the cases of the Mishnah, Maishtar Birurin. What are these documents of clarification, again, which is one of the many cases that we mentioned of a Maisa Bezdin, which are documents that are only written after it actually for sure happened, that the court verifies it. So we said, then you return it to the recipient. One of them was Shtar Birurin. So that's the Gemara Hocha Tirgumu in Bavel. They translated that. It means shtari tanasa. It means documents of claims. To know what each one's claim was in a court situation so that we could have that on record, that's what shtari beruin are. So again, that's something that was verified by the court, and therefore we'll return it more, but there's no thing of perua because there's no payment going on. It's just recording what the statements were in the court proceedings. Rabbi Yirmiyama, he says, it's actually when they're choosing and selecting the judges for their court case. Then they write what's called Zabla, which stands for Zeb Baruloi Echad. He selects one. Vizeb Baruloi Echad, and he selects one. Meaning that because they have three judges, so each one gets to choose one, and the third one, then they'll decide together. Now, the reason I'm recording that in the document, which we're calling Shtar Biruin, of the process, the document of selection, is so that they shouldn't be able to retract, because no. We already made this up. You chose that judge, I chose that judge, and then we had the third judge. That's what's called, those are two different interpretations of Shtar Biruin, again, that if that's found, then you return it to the recipients. Now, the Mishnah said, in conclusion, that all acts of the court, which are these types of documents, which are court-verified documents, are returned to the recipients. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha. Who gitted the shtakech beidin Rav Huna? It was a certain get, a divorce document, that was found in the court of Rav Huna, which was already verified with what's known as a henpik, which is the court seal certification. And the shliach that brought it is saying that from me it fell. So we find this in the court, and he's saying, oh, this is the one that I have to go ahead and deliver to this woman. Now, it was written there in the document, in the get, that it was Beshviri, it was written in Shviri, that was Masad al Rochas Nahara, which is a place by the river Rochas. And that's what they found. So they asked, what should we do with this? Should we return it to this guy who's claiming that it's his? So Rav Huna said, as we continue to Amid Beis, Chashina l'shnei Shviri, we can't give it to this guy. We have to be suspect and concerned that maybe there's actually two Shviris. In other words, although that the Shviri that we know about, there's actually only one Yosef ben Shimon, and there's this document had Yosef ben Shimon written in it, and this guy is claiming it fell from him, but maybe there's another Shviri, and in that place Shviri, there's a person that's called Yosef ben Shimon, and it was written over there, and it actually fell from a different shliach. So says Rav Huna, we can't give it to the shliach, because maybe it's not his get. And you have to divorce the woman with the get that was written l'shma. So Amli Rav Chizal Rabbah, Rav Chizal said to Rabbah, puk ayin, go out and analyze this topic, because de la'urta boyalah Rav Huna minach, in the evening Rav Huna is going to ask you about this halacha question. So Nafik, he went out, dak, he was analyzed, va'ashkach, and he found it's not, that it's actually the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, kol ma'isa bezdin, any act of the courts, like the case we're discussing here, where it was already verified in the court, I had a henpik, harei zeyachzer, it is returned to the one who's claiming that it's theirs. Now the reason for that is because since it wasn't established to have two Yosef and Shimons in that one city, for another city that we don't know about, that we're not concerned for. So therefore, not like the way Rav Huna has said that we're suspect, Rabbi said clearly, you see from our Mishnah, that in ma'isa bezdin, you are going to return in that type of situation, as long as that was verified in court with a henpik. Now that Amalei Rav Amla Rabba. Rav Am asked to Rabba, Hecha Pashid Mar Isur Mimamaina, how is the master resolving a halacha of Isur, which is what a get is, which is prohibitory law, Mimamaina, from monetary law? Our Mishnah is talking about monetary law. So we're going to monetary law that we say that if it was verified in the court, so then we're going to return it to the one who's claiming that it fell from him. But regarding prohibitory law to allow a woman to get remarried, an ish, how can you prove that would be allowed, which is the case over here in the get that was found in the court of Rav Huna, that as long as it was verified in the court, then we could return it to the individual. So Amalei, so Rabbi responded to Rav Amram, he says, Tirada, which means like mentally deranged. Shtari chalitza mi'unintinan. What do you mean? Our Mishnah didn't just talk about monetary law. It also mentioned documents of chalitza and miun, which are both halachas relating to ishus, to marital life. And still the Mishnah said that even though it was Isser, if it's a ma'isa bezdin, that you're going to return it. So what are you asking me? I'm learning Isser Mimayna. Our Mishnah is also told my case of Isserah, and you see you are Yachzer. So the Gemara tells us that Paka Arza de Beirav, so the cedar, which refers to the pillar that the Beis HaMedrash, the study hall, was leaning on, it broke and it burst. So Mar Amar, Rav Amram said, Mishum Lasoi Didi Paka, it's because of my mazel, because that the, so to speak, heaven was upset that here Rabbi just said such harsh words to me, that's why it was breaking, to show the displeasure regarding to affront to my honor. And Umar Amar and Rabba said, no, Mishum Lasoi Didi Paka. It was because that Rav Amram responded to me to disgrace me in the Beis Medrash, to ask me as if, what am I saying? How am I resolving the question from our Mishnah, when our Mishnah has told my Mamayna and I'm told my Isura? It was for my disgrace that the pillar of the Beis Medrash broke. So each one was claiming that the pillar was breaking to show the displeasure, to be an affront to their individual honors. Now the Mishnah continued and said, "Matzah b'chafisa avid luskama." If the document is found by another individual in one of these types of containers, so we said that then you return it again because of the simon of the kli that it was found. So the Gemara just clarifies, "My chafisa, what is a chafisa?" So Amar Rabbi Bar Bachana, it says, "Chemis katana." It's a small flask made out of leather, which generally they would put wine in. Might luskama, what's a luskama? So Amar Rabbi Bar Shmuel, it's tlika de sabe. It's this container that the elderly people would conceal and put away all their different utilities that they need so that they shouldn't have to search after them. They have all their stuff there in that container. That's what it refers to. Again, these are just examples of containers where if we find a document in it, then we will return it, because then he can give a simon to identify that it's his document. Next case the Mishnah spoke about was Tachar Shel Shtaris, Ayagud Shel Shtaris. Either a roll of documents or a bundle of documents, then we return it. So Tara by Linda Bright said, Kamahu Tachar Shel Shtaris. How much, in the Mishnah we spoke about Nagudah Shel Shtaris, how much are a roll of documents? So the Braisa Shleisha Keruchin Zebeze. It's three documents that are rolled one in the other. In other words, and that's the siman, that's the identifying feature that the owner, that whoever it is that's claiming that the document is his, gives regarding it, because the guy who finds it announces regarding this found object, he says, I found documents. And this guy says, they're mine, and there's three of them, and they're rolled one in the other. That's how he gets that returned to him. And v'kamehi agudah shoshtar, so how much are a bundle of documents? Are also shleisha, they're three, but in this case, kashurin zebezeh, they're tied one in the other. Now, on this braisa, Gemara wants to say what we just said, shamet minoah, so we can infer from this braisa that kesher simon, that a knot is an identifying feature, because there are knots that are not similar one to the other. And he could say that the knot was made like this or like that, and therefore that should be an identifying feature, as we see from the braisa, by agudah shoshtaris, he says that it's his, and how does he prove it? Because he tells him how it was knotted. Now, because if you don't say that kesher is a simon, then what type of simon would there be? Why would we return it to the guy who's saying that it's his? So what the Gemara wants in this is that we should resolve the question which the Gemara later on in Elam Tzis is going to ask regarding if kesher, if a knot, how it's knotted, is a simon or not. Seemingly, the Braisa clearly says that it is a simon. But the Gemara answers that no, you can't resolve that from this Braisa, because Hatani Reb Chia had taught in the Braisa an explanation of this case of Agudah Shoshtaris. It's actually Shleisha Keruchin Zebezeh. So actually, what is Agudah Shoshtaris? It's three documents that are rolled one in the other. And actually, the simon is not the knot, it's how it was rolled. Because generally, people, they roll each document individually, and then they tie the documents together. This guy rolled the three together and then knotted it. So it's not the knot that's the simon, but it's how he rolled it differently that's the simon. Now that the Gemara asks, Ihache and the Tachach. But then that's the other case of our Mishnah and the Braisa, which was there was a Tachach Shoshtaris, a roll of documents, and there was a Agudah Shoshtaris, a bundle of documents. If you're saying Agudah is not how it's knotted, but rather how it's rolled, well then that's the same case as the roll of the documents. And that the Gemara says, no, there are two different ways of rolling. Tacherich, when we talk about a roll of documents, that's kolchad v'chad bereisha dechavri. That's each document was rolled over the head of the other document, meaning first rolled up one, then after rolled up one, then rolled up the second one around that one, and then rolled up the third after that. That's what's called tacher shashtaris, and that's its own simon. Aguda, a bundle, is deramu ahadadi. He first lays each document one on top of the other, the length of one on top of the length of the other, and then ukruches, and then rolls them all up together at one time. That's agudah shoshtaris. Again, the siman is not the kesher. There's no riot to that question the Gemara is going to ask in Elam Tzis. It's rather because how it's rolled, and those are two different types of rolling, because generally, the rolling is not like either one of those. It's each one individually is rolled up, and then they're knotted together. Here, the kruches are rolled up one, and then one after another, whereas Aguda is, each one is rolled, they're actually all laid one on another, and then they're all rolled together as one. Now the Gemara asks, so the one who finds these documents, my machris, what does he announce when he's saying that he found something? What does he announce that could leave room open for the one to give a simon that it's his? So that says the Gemara, minyan. He announces the number. He says, I found three documents, and then this guy comes and gives a simon that how it was rolled, that they were rolled together. He says, oh, that's, yeah, you're right, that's not usually how it's done. Obviously, that you knew that this is yours, and that's why he gets it. Now, that the Gemara asks, but then my area tlasa, then if the case is talking about where he mentions the amount, and then this guy only has to have a give a simon on how it was rolled, then why did the Braisa say that it's only if there are three documents rolled one in the other, a filatrei nami? And even two, since the owner doesn't have to have a give a simon regarding the number, because that's already given to the one, because when the guy announces, he says how many he found, all he has to give is how it was rolled, so then what's the difference between three or two? Two is also unique in how it's rolled, one in the other, in contrast to how it's normally rolled. Rather, the Gemara says, like Ravina said in Elam Tzias, later on, that actually, the guy who announces doesn't even say how many documents he found. Rather, like Ravina says, he says, Tiva Machras, he announces a coin. Hachanami Shtari Machras, he says, I found documents. Now, this guy who's claiming that it's his, he has to say now two things. He has to say that these are how many documents were found, and that they were rolled up one to the other. Now that's why it has to be specifically three, because if it was two, then the guy would know the number, because the smallest amount of plural, when the guy says, I found documents, that automatically is two, and therefore the number wouldn't be a simon if it's two. It has to be three or greater, so then you could say, okay, how many plurals there are? Because two, of course, we know there is. So therefore, you're right, he doesn't say the amount, he just says, I found documents, and the guy has to say how many they were, let's say three, and also how they were rolled together. Now then the Mishnah said that a different halacha, Shimon Gamliel Omer, he says, Echad HaLevi Mishleisha, if let's say you have one get who borrowed from three people, in other words, if we find three documents with one borrower and three different lenders, so Yachsel LeLevi V'chul, then you return it to the borrower. And the Gemara explains, if you would entertain to say that they fell from the lenders, then why would three different lenders have their documents together because of one borrower? Who cares? They're each three different people. Why would their documents have been found together? Obviously, it fell from the borrower and he had already paid them up. And that the Gemara asks, wait, no, maybe they were going to verify these documents that have been certified by the scribe of the judges who writes a hempik for all the documents. Maybe that's why they had them together, because they knew this borrower. Maybe he's going to default. Who knows? Maybe he's going to lie. So they had them together for the scribe. And that the Gemara says, no, the Mekayim, it's someone that they already verified. So if they already verified, they weren't on their way or by the scribe because they already verified. Now, so the Gemara says, okay, so they weren't on the way to the scrub, but Dilma Miyadu Disafinathlum. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe they went to verify it. And actually, it's the scribe who had, maybe this guy took out three loans at the same day from three different people. And they all went to the court and dropped it off by the scribe to have it verified. And maybe the scribe dropped it. But maybe it doesn't belong to the borrower. Maybe he didn't pay it. Or maybe it belongs to the lenders. And that the Gemara says, no, because Loimashi Inish Kiyum Miyadu Disafinathlum. A person does not delay his verified document to the verification process by the seifer, by the scribe. He wants to have his document. And therefore, there's no reason to assume that it fell from the scribe. They would have waited there, gotten that thing and left. If it's all three found together, it must be that it fell from the borrower. So to the Mishnah continued and said, Shleisha Shalovu Me'echad. If you have three people that borrowed from one lender, in other words, we find three documents with one lender and three different borrowers, then Yafsa L'mal V'chu, then we return it to the lender. Says the Gemara. Because if you would entertain to say that they fell from the borrowers, meaning that they paid up this one lender and it was returned to them, so my boy Gabadodi, why would three random borrowers have their documents together that we're finding them in the same place? And that the Gemara says, why? Maybe actually they were going to have them written up. And actually, because this is maybe a famous lender, he lends a lot of people money, and three random people, three maybe poor people, came to the scribe, and maybe it fell from the scribe, and maybe the loan never happened. How do you know it fell from the lender that now they're going to have to pay him the money? That the Gemara says, "D'chsivi b'tlas yod disafri." You're right. If it fell from one scribe, then maybe, meaning that it was written by one scribe, maybe then we could not necessarily give it back to the lender, because it could be it was the borrowers who were having it written up but didn't borrow yet. But here, it was written by three different scribes. So it didn't fall from the scribe, because three different scribes. And neither did it fall from three different lenders, because then borrowers, because then why would they be together? That's why it must be from the lender. Now, the Gemara still asks, the dimmele kumina asli, but maybe they were going to have them verified. And therefore, if they're going to have them verified, therefore, maybe that's why it actually did not fall from the lender, and actually it was falling from the borrowers. And the reason why they're together is because they were going to the same court to have it verified. So although it was written by three different scribes, but after it's written up already, then to get verification is another process. Maybe that's why it fell from the same place, but really they belong to the borrowers, not the lenders. But the Gemara says, no, because Malva Mekayim Shtari, only a lender is the one who certifies the document. Leivele Mekayim Shtari, a borrower doesn't verify and certify a document that it's valid. I mean, there's the writing of the document, which that, of course, they do because they want to be able to go to the lender. The lender then later goes and has witnesses verify their own, let's say, signatures in the document or other witnesses and have them verified in the court. Only a lender does it, not a borrower, and therefore it can't be that it fell from the borrowers by having it verified, because they don't do that, and therefore it must be that it fell from the lender and he gets these three documents. Another case the Mishnah spoke about was Mieshem Moim Simfinais. That if, let's say, a person finds amongst his documents, he finds a receipt of one of his other documents that someone owes him money, and the receipt says that the guy paid him up already, says the Mishnah Yasa Masha Simfinais. So he has to follow what it says in the receipt, although he doesn't know. Maybe he wrote it up and he actually never went and gave it to the guy. Maybe the guy never paid him up. Still, that's the Halach of the Mishnah. You find a receipt, you have to assume that maybe he had already paid you up, and you just never gave him the receipt, and therefore you can't collect with that other document anymore. Now, relating to this halacha, this Mishnah, the Gemara quotes the following Amaroic statement. Amarav Yimer Ba'aba Amarav. He says, Simfin, which again is a receipt that voids another document. As Rashi explains, he says, anything that voids another thing is called Simfin. as we find by the kedushim of a woman or the selling of a slave, where the blemish in the slave of the woman is called sinfin, because it voids the mekach, the sale of the slave or of the acquisition of the woman, because it's a problem. So that's it's something that voids, which is what a receipt is. It voids that sale. It's paid up already. So it says Rav, sinfin hayyitz metachas yedei malva. If, let's say, the lender finds in his own domain, in his own hand, not in the hands of the borrower, but in his own hands, he finds a receipt of the loan that he had outstanding to that borrower. Says Rav, Ava Pisha Kosa Biksav Yoda, even if it's written in his own handwriting, in Ilikim Masachik Upasal. It's only like a one big joke, and that receipt is going to be pasal, and it's not going to void his document, and he can still collect the loan that is outstanding against the borrower. As the Gemara explains. What Rav's Chiddush is Loi mi bayu kasa b'ksav yad sefer. We didn't have to tell you this halacha if it was the receipt was written by a scribe, where the ikal amim, in that case, you could say why it would be puzzle. It's because maybe Safra Isramele. Maybe he just happened to one day encounter a scribe, and he thought to himself, look, if my debtor is going to come to pay me up my debt, and I don't have a document, a receipt ready in my hand to go ahead and give him, that maybe he's not going to want to pay me up. So therefore, I want to be able to have a receipt ready, and therefore v'chasav, so he had it written up already once a long time ago, not that it was paid up, just to have it ready. And that we didn't have to say that, of course, if you find the shayva, there's no proof that the guy had paid up his debt, and therefore the receipt is not considered valid, it's puzzle, and you could still collect the loan. But on that it says, Rav, ela filo kasav iksav yodoy, but actually even if it was the receipt was written up in the lender's own handwriting, where there you could say, wait a second, if the borrower didn't pay up, then why was the lender so quick to write up the document if it wasn't paid up, if he knows how to write anyway? Why would you be writing up? You see, obviously, you wrote in your handwriting. You could have written any time. So if he would come, you would write it up. So then, obviously, if you find this receipt, must be that it really was paid up. And that says, Rav, no. Savar, because the lender thinks to himself, yes, I know how to write up a receipt, but everything takes time. And Dilma Misrami va'asi bein hashmashis, because partly maybe it's going to happen that one day by twilight, meaning it's on Friday evening, that maybe the borrower is going to come in a hurry and he wants to pay me up the debt. Now, de'ilo yehiv nalei, if I'm not going to give him a receipt, lo yov le'zuzi, he's not going to pay me up the money. He's like, ha, what's your job? I'm going to pay you up and then you can still have the document. I need a receipt. So therefore, echtav anas, said the lender to himself, look, let me write up the receipt, that when he brings me the money, etle, I'll have the document ready to give it to him. So that's the chiddush of Rav. Even if it's in his own handwriting, even if he finds a receipt, the lender does not have to consider that the receipt is legitimate. He can consider that he had written up once earlier to have, but that there's no proof that the borrower had paid him up, and therefore he can still collect with the loan document that he has. On that, asked the Gemara from Tanan, was it not Mishnah? Not like that. A Mishnah says, "Im yesh imohim simfinis." If somebody finds, a lender finds amongst his documents, as we're saying, because he's Matzah Shtar Ben Shtereisav, who is a lender who has a lot of debt owed to him, and amongst his documents he finds a receipt. Said the Mishnah, "Yaseh Masha Shebin Simfinis." He has to do as it says in the receipt, meaning that the receipt is kosher, is valid, and he cannot collect with the debt. Now that clearly contradicts Rav, who said that if you find the receipt, it's not valid. So that the Gemara explains, could the Amr Rav Safra. It's like Rav Safra says, which the Gemara is going to quote shortly from a different question, Shenimtza bein shtoris keruin, where this was found amongst his ripped up documents, meaning those which he doesn't need anymore in the trash bin. Hachanami shematzu, here also it's talking about in our Mishnah, where the lender found the document of which the receipt was written on, he found that document bein shtaris keruin, amongst his torn documents. Now, he didn't tear up the actual document itself, but therefore we're going to rely on the receipt because the placing of the document proves that the receipt is correct. Because if it wasn't paid up, then they wouldn't put a document by his ripped up documents. Although usually you rip it up, and therefore it's not indicative, but from the fact that additionally there's a receipt, then why is my document in the garbage and I have a receipt? Must be it was paid up. That's one interpretation of Rashi. Another interpretation that Rashi says is that he actually found the receipt, not the document of the deed, of the loan, but actually the receipt was found amongst his torn up documents. Therefore, you could say that it must be that he received the document already, meaning that he received the payment already of the loan. Why? Because this receipt, the lender doesn't need it, only the borrower needs it. Now, the borrower obviously forgot the receipt in the hand of the lender, and therefore, what the lender does is that he places it with his documents that he doesn't need. Because if you would entertain to say that the lender wrote it to be prepared for him, to give it when the lender is going to pay it up, then he wouldn't have put it with his documents that he doesn't need, meaning with the ripped up documents. So if he's putting it in the trash bin, it must be because, okay, the guy you already paid me up, I don't need it anymore, because obviously he forgot about it. So it was only written up for him to have it, and therefore that's why it's in the trash bin. So either one of those two interpretations is what the Gemara is answering, that he found either the document in the garbage, in the ripped up documents, so therefore that must verify that the receipt must be true, or that it actually finds the receipt in the garbage, and therefore there's no need for the receipt anymore because the guy already paid him up. It's only written so that this guy should be satisfied that, okay, don't worry, I won't collect, you'll have a receipt, and they already forgot it here, so he puts it in the garbage. But you're right, in a regular situation where if somebody just finds a SIM fine with no other indicating features, so then it's like what Rav said, then you could just, it's one big joke. Who said that you paid up because I have a receipt? Maybe I wrote it up beforehand to have it ready. So the Gemara continues asking on Rav's halacha. Toshima, coming here from a Mishnah in Perek Ged Pashut and Baba Basadav, Kuf Ayin Bezim at Aleph, where if there are two people with the same name in one city, let's say we'll call them Yosef ben Shimon. So the Mishnah says, if Nimtzala Echad, somebody finds a receipt, Bein Shtaraisav, amongst his documents. Now on that document is written that Shtarishal Yosef ben Shimon, that the document of Yosef ben Shimon that I have in my hand, is perua, is paid up already. Now, the thing is that this guy who finds a receipt of Yosef ben Shimon actually had two different documents that are owed to him by these two Yosef ben Shimons. And now, it's not clear which one is the one that paid him up. It says the Mishnah, Shtaris Shneim Peruin. So both of the documents are considered paid up because each one could say, yes, that receipt that you found was my debt that was paid up already. Now, actually, the Gemara Babasra asks that even without this receipt, the Mishnah teaches us that one person cannot go ahead and collect any debt from any one of these Yosef ben Shimons, because each one could say it wasn't me, it was the other Yosef ben Shimon. So the Gemara explains that no, the actual debt document was written what's called Mishulashan. It was written not only the guy and his father's name, it was written with his grandfather's name. And that they have different names so that you could identify which Yosef ben Shimon it was. But the Shaiva, the receipt, which is the one we're not sure about who paid up, that wasn't Mishulashan. That was only Yosef ben Shimon, which they're both Yosef ben Shimon, and therefore that's the area of Safik. So each one could say, okay, I'm the one that's paid up, so he can't collect from either one of them. Now, but one thing the Gemara wants from this is that here we have a case of where the lender is the one that finds this simfine, he finds this receipt, and we see that the simfine is kosher. And moreover, in this case, because they both have the same name, he can't collect from either one of them. But Rav said that if you find a receipt, you don't have to consider it valid, you can still collect. But the Gemara says again, Kedam Rav Safra, this case or this Mishnah is also like the way Rav Safra explained it. Shenimtza bein shtoris keruin. He finds the document amongst his ripped up documents. So Hachanami here also is talking about Shenimtza, that the document that he finds is bein shtoris keruin, is amongst his torn up documents. And each one is saying, that one that you find, that document is my document that's torn up. And again, that's why you can't collect with it. But you're right, if it was just a person finds a simfa, and then like Rav said, then if we don't have the document in the garbage, we would go ahead and be able to collect with it because he could just be mesachik and it would be possible. Tashima, the Gemara again asked a question on Rav from a different Mishnah, this time from a Mishnah Masech to Shavuos and Daf Mem Hayim and Aleph. The Mishnah there is talking about when orphans want to collect from orphans regarding their father's debts, so they could only collect with an oath. What's the oath that the collectors make? So they make a shvua shalei pekadnu abba. We swear that our father did not command us regarding any commands when he died, regarding this outstanding debt. And v'shalei omalonu abba, and our father didn't tell us beforehand that regarding that if this was paid up. And moreover, v'shalei mitzonu bein shalei reis v'shalei abba, neither did we find amongst his documents that this was paid up. That sheshtaze perua, that this document was paid up. So again, neither did he tell us, neither did we find amongst his documents, and neither was there a command regarding this that it should be considered paid up. And therefore they're saying, look, we have a deed that says you owe us money. We don't know anything. Our father didn't tell us it was paid up. There's no documents that were paid up. And then they want to collect with that. So on that, says the mission, okay, so then they could collect. Now, but what it sounds like is, had they found a simfine, had they found the receipt amongst their father's documents, then we would rely upon it, and we would say that it is paid up, and they wouldn't be able to collect. That contradicts Rav. Rav says, if you find simfine, one big joke, it doesn't prove that you paid up anything. Could be the father had written it up, just in case. But here we see that we do rely on it. That Om Rav Safa, this was the Rav Safa that we were quoting in the previous proofs. This is where he said it, that Shenimtza Bein Shtarayz Karuin, that the document was found amongst the torn up documents. So that, together with the fact that there's a receipt, that is a clearer indicator that it must have been that it was paid up, and that's why we do go based on that receipt. But again, if there was no torn up document, I mean, it wasn't amongst the torn up documents, it wasn't in the garbage bin, and all we found is a sinfin, then Rav would be correct, and that we wouldn't go based on that. Tashma, the Gemara asks another question on Rav from the following Braisa. Sinfin Shiesh Alav Edim, a certifying, a receipt that has on it witnesses, says the Braisa Yiskayim B'chisamav. So it's verified with its signatures. Now the assumption of the Gemara right now is if the lender says that I wasn't paid up, and you should know that I wasn't paid up, because although there's a receipt over here, but I never gave it to you. And if it was you, if you had paid me up, you would have had the receipt, the borrower, not me, the lender. So that it sounds like what the Braisa is saying is that Yiskayim B'chisamav, you verified with the signatures, meaning that if the witnesses who sign in it verify and testify that they were signed on this, they're the witnesses who signed on this receipt, then the lender would not be believed, which is not like Rav. Because Rav said, it doesn't make a difference, even if you have a verified receipt, the receipt doesn't prove anything. The receipt is only, he wrote just in case. So what does it help to verify the receipt? Because that's what Kiyum Shtaros does, it really only verifies the receipt. Yeah, the receipt is kosher, says the lender, but you never paid me up. Now, as long as it's not verified, then the lender's believed, because who's producing the receipt is the lender, and the lender's saying it's possible. But it sounds like from the Braisa, but if we make the actual receipt kosher, then we do believe that it was paid up, but that's not like Rav, because Rav wasn't saying there's any problem with the receipt. He was just saying that even if it's a kosher receipt, you can't collect with it, because maybe it was made just in case. So that the Gemara answers, no, emi yiskayim meichay samav. Not that it should be as normal what we say, that we are mekayim the shtar with the signatures by verifying the document. Actually, we will verify it from those who signed on it, meaning, as the Gemara continues, the top of Chafal from an Aleph, the shaylinan lehud l'sahadi. We inquire by the witnesses who are signed on the receipt if they saw that it was paid up, meaning if it's paid up or not. And if not, if the witnesses are not able to testify that they actually saw the payment, meaning they say, yeah, we signed on the receipt. That's not going to work, as Rav said, because even a kosher receipt doesn't tell us anything. When we say Yiskay Michay Samav, means we'll ask them, did you see it paid up? If they say yes, so fine, of course it paid up. If they don't, they say, no, we don't know anything. This guy just wanted to write us up a receipt for him. Then the lender would be believed to say that it was only written up to be prepared in case he's going to pay up, like Rav, and therefore it's not a refutation of Rav. And we ask another question on Rav. Toshma, Lutna Braisa. Simfin Shiesh Lav Edim Kasher. If there is a receipt that has net witnesses, it's Kasher. Again, problem for Rav, because even if it has witnesses, which makes it into a kosher receipt, fine, but what does that have to do anything? Rav said even the kosher receipt doesn't prove anything. He wrote up just in case. And that says the Gemara, My Edim Ede Kiyim. What does it mean if there are witnesses in it? It means to say that there are verifying witnesses, meaning that a hempik was written on the receipt, because that means the court verified the receipt. And a court only verifies a receipt if they know that the actual transaction happened, as we said in the halacha of our Mishnah. So that obviously means to say the court is verifying that it was already paid up, and that is why we're going to not allow the lender to collect with it, and it would be a kosher receipt. And the Gemara actually says, Hachna Mistaber, it's actually logical to say that interpretation, because what we learned at the end of the Braisa. The Braisa then says, but v'she'eno lav edim pasul, but if it doesn't have witnesses in it, it's going to be invalid. Now, my eno lav edim, what does it mean that it doesn't have witnesses on it? Elam deleke ilave edim klal, if you would entertain to say that it means that there's no witnesses on it at all. So tzrich lemem the pasul, you have to say it's invalid. In other words, there's two levels of witnesses you could have in a document. You have those who are signed in it, and then you have what we call edikim, which is when we write a hempik, which is that those are the witnesses who verify that the document is a kosher document, which the witnesses who are signed in it, let's say, are kosher. That's where the second pair of witnesses are coming to do it. So if you would entertain to say that when we're saying here in the Braisa that a simfin shesh lab edim is kosher means the original witnesses, and not edikim as we're saying, edikim when it was verified in the court, Rav would agree to that, because then that means to say that a payment already happened. But if you say that it means only those who are signed in it, say when the Sefer says, but if there's no witnesses signed in it, do I need to tell you that's possible? Of course it's possible. You need to have witnesses to verify that the receipt is a receipt in the first place. El Alav, edikim rather must be that it's verifying witnesses That if you don't have that, then actually like that's like Rav. Because although it's a regular receipt with witnesses signing it, but who said that the payment ever happened? It's only with witnesses that are verifying it, that in court, that it happened, that's when we know that, okay, then we'll say that it's already paid up. But in general, actually the halacha is like Rav. Now the Gemara concludes this parak by quoting Gufa, where it quotes the whole brisa that was the previous Gemara's attempt to disprove Rav. The brisa said, "Simfin sheyeshal of edim," a receipt that has in it witnesses, which Rashi explains based on how the Gemara just explained in this previous brisa. That's talking about what does it mean simfin has in it edim? It means edei kiyum, meaning verifying witnesses. So then yiskayim b'chesamav. So then it's going to be validated with its signatures. In other words, even if it's the lender that's holding onto the receipt is going to be kosher, and again, it's not going to allow the lender to collect with that other document. Now, ein olav edim, if there's no edei kiyum, rather you only have the witnesses that are signed in the document itself, but which that itself usually would not allow the receipt to be kosher, and the lender would still be allowed to collect, but v'yetzu mitachas edei shlish. But it's not the lender who's holding onto it, and neither is it the borrower that's holding onto it. It's actually a third party that is producing this document. Or actually, that this receipt is actually written on the actual document of the debt after the signatures of the witnesses of the actual loan debt. On bottom of that, it talks about the receipt, that how it was paid up. That says the brisa kosher. In these two last cases, then the receipt will be kosher, even though there's no edei kiyum. The reason for that is, as the Gemara explains, by these two cases, the lender would not be believed to say that, as he is in the regular case, as Rav had said, that it wasn't paid up, I just wrote up the receipt to have prepared. Because yeitzim itachas edei shlish, when it's by a third party, the hohem neimavlo l'shlish. What we're talking about over here is, obviously, the only one who writes the receipt is the lender. Now, if he gave it over to a third party, he's obviously saying that I trust you, and the borrower also trusts him, to do what is going to be legally the halacha. Now, if the third party is verifying that this is the receipt, then obviously the lender believes him, and therefore it's going to be considered a receipt, and the borrower doesn't have to pay up anymore. So too in the final case of a Yaitzil Achachisim Shtaris Nami, when the receipt was written on the actual document of the debt itself, after the signature is signed on the I owe $1,000 to this guy, and the witness is signed, on bottom of that, the lender wrote the receipt that I received payment from this guy, that there, we consider it a valid receipt and it must have been paid up already, because the Ilav de Priya, because if the borrower had not paid up, Lahava Morali Lishtari, the lender would not have tampered and create a flaw in his document, meaning even if he wants to be prepared in case the guy is going to pay up, he wouldn't do it on the document itself, because that's the place where he could collect from. He doesn't want that the document itself should have, if he ever has to use it, that it says it's paid up. They're going to say, well, what do you mean? You're collecting this document? Look at it. It says it's paid up. He would write another document to have somewhere else in case that it's paid up. If it's written on the deed itself, then we considered for sure that it was a valid receipt, that it was paid up. And then for those two cases, even if there's no kiyum shtaris, there's no hempik on it, which is the court verification that it's paid up, still when it's in the third party or if the receipt is written on the document itself, it would be considered a valid receipt. And then it would be, if the guy finds such a document, that would be collected, in contrast to, again, Rav's halacha, when a person random finds a receipt, unlike the literal translation of the halacha of a Mishnah, then it wouldn't be considered a valid receipt. It would still be allowed to collect, because the halacha of the Mishnah was like Rav Safra, that it's only when additionally, besides finding the receipt, you also find the document amongst the torn up documents in the garbage bin. Hanulach Shnayim Oichsen, which I will turn to you, the first parak of Sartis Bam Metzia, parak Shnayim Oichsen.